What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
I hate the assumption that everybody keep calling him a bad coach. Like, why is he bad? Because he came and went 5-7? Like, I mean, hey.
To me, a lot of that whole Mario being a bad coach, being stubborn, I think some of that's just like fan rhetoric. Like, really, I think it boils over really more from like our haters who scared that this thing gonna work. I think that's really what you're seeing more than anything else, because they don't have much to go on. Like, if you try to discredit him as a coach, it's capped, because we all know when it was time for coaching searches, it wasn't a lot of names out there, right? Like, what are your names? And the names that was out there, you definitely had Mario in the top tier. And to say otherwise is just a bold-faced lie. He ain't won no natty yet, but how many coaches have?
Yeah, it's very few that still coach that won a natty.
That won a natty, right? So, like, so what's your qualifications then? Your ability to recruit, you know, your ability to win games. He's done that. And you got to remember, he's still in his, as far as head coaching goes, he's still at the beginning of his career.
Yeah, he's still early. You know, people look at his FIU stats and be like, oh, he's a bad coach. And I be like, well, man, look, I'm not going sugarcoat it. He did good and he did bad there, but at the same time, every coach have did bad there. It's never
right.
been a good
it's
coach
FIU. For you. Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the criteria that you judge him on FIU, if you already knew, is kind of flawed. You know, Bush Davis went there and couldn't do nothing.
Yeah,
you're
talking
about one of the best talent evaluators of all time. He went there and couldn't do nothing.
Right. You because you have to keep in mind where you at. You in the state of Florida. So in the state of Florida, you already got to deal with the big three, right? And then after that, you got to deal with UCF, USF, right? And that's probably be your second tier down. And USF probably actually could slide on down to the third at this point. You might really just kind of have UCF by themselves really in that second. But USF has had some success in the past and been probably definitely been a second tier Florida program at some point. And then you got FIU and FAU. So it's just a really crowded field to try to get some talent from and then try to develop it. And you got terrible facilities.
Terrible,
you know,
man.
You're borrowing equipment. Like, what are we talking about? Anything he did there was that was a positive, you got to get out a lot of credit. You can't discredit it, because doing bad is the default. It's hard to do good there. So if you're able to put together a season or two, you got to get out a lot of credit, man. Like I said, I really don't think people, if you really sit objectively, I don't think most of these people feel like Mario's a bad coach in any respect. I think it's just, if you got the opportunity to say something negative about him, you're going to go ahead and do that just to, you know, to have these negative thoughts out there in the fan base head and get you frustrated. 5-7 was bad, but I don't know that roster was much better than a 7-5 roster regardless.
It wasn't. It definitely
so,
wasn't.
Yeah, you know, you got some injuries here and there that definitely whooped us, and you definitely can put some coaching blame there when it comes to the offensive coordinator. I mean, like I said, in today's day and age, you can't be going without scoring any touchdowns. The game's too wide open for that. So I definitely allow that in the room, but at the same time, when that came about, he made a change because he's seen the same thing we seen. Like, bro, come on, man. No points. I mean, I know we got injuries, but nah, we got to get touchdowns. So he made the adjustment. So I don't even believe those who say that really and truly believe that narrative. There could be some truth to maybe he being a little stubborn, but I don't think those stubborn things is necessarily a bad thing. Like people talk about him wanting to run the ball. I'm like, why is that bad? I want to run the ball. I don't. Why would you not want to run the ball? You could control the game if you could run the ball. When you say that, who says you don't throw it? Like, what are we talking about? Why is that a negative connotation? It should be balanced, and I think you should run more than you throw.
That's
good, pretty good balance. I'm not saying it should be, 45 run plays to 15 pass plays. But it should be pretty close to. I like it a little bit like 52-48, something like that.
You run the 55-45. Just imagine you running the ball, man. Just imagine you playing a team who has a high powered offense where they're doing 80 to 90 plays a game. Imagine if you could run the ball and take that 80 to 90 plays down to 65 plays.
Right.
You know how much better your defense would be?
Right.
Fresh. Like, you know, that's the optics of being a coach. You know, a lot of fans don't look at it as stuff like that. They just say, well, if they run 90 plays, we should run 90 plays. Nah, it don't work like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, let's try to keep them from running 90 plays if we can.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the key. Yeah. Taking away the strength is always going to be your key when you out there, playing football. It's chess. So you always want to take away the strength of your opponent. So if your opponent is a high-powered offense, you don't want to necessarily get out there and get into no shootout and just hope to win a shootout. To me, I wouldn't. That my whole plan would be like, hey, keep the quarterback off field, keep the offense off field as much as we possibly can. And if I could just push you around at the line of scrimmage and punch you in the mouth over and over and over again, why wouldn't I? Why would I not do that? That's what they're trying to build with this line. Because we've been terrible run blocking. Number one, we have been terrible run blocking for several years now. And for to have a coach that wants to implement the ability to run and to have an issue with that is insane to me, man. It's a weird concept. My bottom line is this. People want explosion. You can definitely get explosion out the run game, man. It does not have to come through the air all the time. You can absolutely break off big chunk runs. I say it all the time as a 49ers fan. I observe my team do it week in and week out. One reason the quarterbacks, everybody on Brock Purdy, we don't ask our quarterbacks to do a whole lot. I don't think Brock Purdy's some next world level talent. I'm not trying to say he's not, but I haven't seen enough to say that he is. What I do know is our game is predicated very heavily off of misdirection, motion, and the run game, and it leads your quarterback to just make just enough throws to win this game and put people away. And the 49ers definitely have an explosive offense. So, stat chasers and, goofy commentators want to be like, oh, this guy don't know what he's doing. All right, bro. Well, good. You ain't got to worry about him. Awesome. You know what I mean? But I'm confident in his ability to lead this team to the next level. And I think that this year alone, I think we'll see a big uptick in the record. And I'm not going on record to say we'll be, I won't even say 10 wins this year. I still think this roster is going to be young, got to add some more depth pieces, but I'm pretty confident in 8 wins. And that's a big flip from 7-5. I'll take 8-4 all day. Get a couple of good wins. Like to really see us beat UNC and Florida State this year, and I'm gonna call it success if we can pull that off. I think that's very good. And then I've always been a year three guy. Year three is always when I truly get into the evaluation of a coach. So, anyways, that's kind of here and there.
Yeah, man. Back to the bad coaching thing. One thing about Mario, man, is everywhere he's went, he's not had former players. Or even former coaches say he's a bad coach. That's the crazy thing. Like, if you got players and then you got former coaches saying, yeah, man, he's not, that coach that they think they hired. then you can start saying, well, maybe, you know what I'm saying? But he's not that guy.
And we've seen that.
Yeah, the head coach is basically a guy who's supposed to monitor the team. You know what I'm saying? You hire coaches to coach the team. He monitors it, and he does everything to keep all the outside noise away from the team. Right. That's the head coach's job. Them saying, this was probably one of the worst ones. Was, oh, he's a quarterback killer. I'm like, well, how is that? He don't even call plays. He don't even coach the quarterback. So how is he killing the quarterback? You know what I'm saying? That was
it, and again, it's just something it's just, cute to say as if he hasn't had some success there. I don't know. I don't pay that shit no mind. I put it this way. If he's a bad coach, I'll let you know after year three. Right now, I'm with you, X. Like, I've always said it. I say, man, today's head coach is an easy job. Your key is to be just what you said, a culture setter, a guy that dictates how we're going to do things in and out every day. Like his one of his sayings is, how you do anything is how you do everything. You're setting the tone, you set the culture, and you surround yourself with people that are better at your job than you. And he's had a good tree of guys that have left his program and gone on to have success elsewhere, either as head coaches or coordinators. So, bad coach, you're going to have to explain that to me. You have to show me what a bad coach touched you at, because I don't know what you're talking about. You know, you win your conference, you win the Rose Bowl. This is not bad coaching, people. I'm sorry. Oh, Utah whooping. Hey, Utah got his number. Got to figure that out. That was something that, you know, Utah was spanking him. I give you that. That don't make a bad coach. That makes – sometimes a team got your number. Y'all know, kind of like UNC. Sometimes they just got your number, and you got to figure out what to do. You know, like you got to listen to
them. Like back in the days, remember Tennessee would beat everybody but Florida. You
know right.
Like nobody's calling Phil Former a bad coach. They just said he can't beat Florida.
That was it.
But guess what? When he finally beat Florida, they were like, oh, he's a great coach now.
Right.
All of a sudden, he's a great coach because he finally beat Florida. I mean, you know, it happens. The same way with Coach Bob Stoops. You know, when he won his first title at Oklahoma, after that, right. He was like, man, he just can't win the big game no more because he won one, and that's it. He can't win no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So
still make it bad coach.
Yeah, still don't make him a bad
just got
coach.
You got a little monkey on your back. You got that's a little hump you can't quite get over. I remember a certain school up north was just clamoring to get that coach. So, I mean, bad coach, yeah. Convenient. He conveniently a bad coach when it don't go your way. But, you know, I got something on the – I wanted to holler at real quick on the off topic, man. I'm sure you've seen by now the we got a light show anyway, so we're going to get into this real quick. The top 50 from Billboard, the top 50 MC. I know me and X both. Okay. Yeah, me and X both hip hop heads. And since it's just me and him gonna be kicking it today. Matter of fact, let me make an official introduction. We're gonna be a little unorthodox today. My bad. I forgot. Usually we do the pre-show, but we kind of got right into the football talk. Welcome back to 26 Degrees. It's your boy Larry. Right back like I left my car keys. You know how that go. You know what I'm bad at is leaving my phone on the little, like, the point of payment at the grocery stores and stuff, or, like, the gas station. I'm bad about that. I leave my phone up there all the time. I always come right back for it, but it's like I'll sit it down, walk to the car, and be like, oh, shit. And I got to swing right back around, go get my phone. Or somebody be bringing it to me half the time, but I'm getting better about it. But, yeah, today we doing a little two-man fast break. My man X here with me today. X, what's up to the people, man?
What's up, people, man? Glad to be back on, as usual. You know, we here, man, trying to drop some Kane info, probably info that you guys already heard, but guess what? It's coming from somebody who's there.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, man. Just glad to be back on.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, it ain't the info, it's the takes, you know what I mean? It's the messaging. Everybody got something, but it's just the way we're going to bring it. Plus, what we about to get into right now. Yeah, Meezy is out. He said his head hurt. I can imagine what he got into this weekend. And that's probably why he got a headache. got his little heart broke or something. I can imagine. Yeah, man.
Meezy got to stop letting them girls cook him some cookies. making him some cookies that's terrorizing him, man.
Yeah, man. So Meezy out for the day. Homie Rob, our correspondent, our fill-in guy. He's on the road, and so is Maul. Maul's on the road too. So, man, we gonna come back and give y'all some content as usual. And usually we place this pre-show, but like I said, it's gonna be a short show anyways. And then we gonna hit y'all with a couple of give you guys a couple of spring updates and light little recruiting news, nothing too heavy. And we gonna get up out of here. But since it's usually pre-show, I'm gonna make it easy on Maul. We ain't gonna make them edit it and move it out of place. We'll just do some of the pre-show talk here. All right, so the top 50 MCs, and I want to do this because I know a lot of our audience is in tune with that type of stuff, and me and X are definitely hip-hop heads. He probably a little more hip-hop-y heady than me, but but I'm still a rap connoisseur, and I get into this stuff pretty heavy. I won't necessarily go down the whole list, even though it won't take that long. But I want to hear from you because I was reading through it the other day and I was like, all right, what's my major grievances with this? Because everybody get to have an opinion. So I'm not, it's your opinion. I'm not mad, but this one made a lot of noise. It made the rounds. It's been out for a few weeks. And now I don't like to talk about a lot of stuff when it's fresh and hot because everybody got these hot takes. And you ain't taking the time to sit back and digest nothing and really think about anything. I'm going to say all in all, I get a list of B+. I thought the list was pretty good. I mean, I wasn't mad at a lot. But I'm gonna ask you first off, did you see the full list?
Yeah, I seen the full list. The one thing for the original hip hop heads, I'm gonna say original, the backpackers, you can't be mad at the list. The list criteria does not count underground hip hop. So right. Why are you mad? You can't be mad about underground hip hop and mixtapes. That does not count on this list.
Yeah.
Billboard is a calculated list of goals and accomplishments.
Right.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? So you can't be mad. You can just disagree. You know, everybody gonna disagree with something, some form of something. So
yeah, like if we just talking skill, of course, there's gonna be underground rappers that's gonna get left off. Yeah, that's just what it is. I mean, you want to talk about like a MF Doom, you know, I think you might could put like Royce the 5'9", close to underground. I think at this point in his career, you would probably categorize him there. Definitely the Griselda boys. Of course, you're going to be missing like top lyricists. But like when they did this list, you know, the criteria wouldn't include underground rappers. So let's see. Matter of fact, it says in determining these rankings, the Billboard and Vibe editorial teams, because yeah, remember this was done by Vibe and Billboard, so it was collaborative. Billboard just kind of got the top billing because Vibe ain't what it used to be. They opted first to limit the rap arena to North America. So for as an example, as estimable as his career is, I don't know what that means really, British rapper Slick Rick isn't on the list. We also opted not to include the significant contributions of reggaeton and dancehall MCs on this list, just to keep our pool of nominees a little more focused. From there, the teams took it to the following criteria: body of work / achievements, meaning charted singles / albums, gold, platinum certifications, cultural impact / influence, how the artist worked, fostered the genre's evolution, longevity, obviously you know what that is, lyrics, and flow. So when you do it that way, I'm like, okay, this list make a lot of sense to me. But what was your biggest grievance or grievances with the list, as far as like people that was on there or not on there, even with that criteria?
So the biggest difference, I mean, disagreement that I had with the list was, I guess if you say, like, when they say longevity, are we talking just because they only rapped in the 80s or they only rapped in the 90s? You know, the one thing I always tell people is about music. Music has to be timeless to be great. It can't just be great at the moment, and then years later, you're like, oh, man, that album don't even sound good no more.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, that's how I put longevity in. Like, okay, can I throw in a Tupac, Me Against the World album, if feel the same way I did when I first heard it in 94? Or can I throw in a Biggie album and feel the same way? You know what I'm saying? That's longevity. You know what I'm saying? And for example, they had the Lox versus Dipset versus. And, before the show, everybody was like, well, Dipset kind of got it. And they wasn't even thinking until they heard the music. And you said, oh, Dipset music kind of sound outdated a little bit.
Yeah, right.
And then you start realizing, oh, yeah, the Lox going to win. You know what I'm saying? Longevity. Because I can't play your music today. And then 10 years from later, I'd be like, oh, nah, I ain't even going to hear that crap no more.
Right. It definitely, Number One definitely had a sound that fit a moment in time. And I wasn't that crazy about that music at that time. Like, I wasn't, that was a super sped up soul sample sound. That was real big at that time. And Dipset helped bring that all about. Absolutely. But I didn't go crazy over that sound. I was like, it's a cool sound. They had some songs I liked, but I wasn't going like nuts about them. I'm going to tell you, because you kind of what you said. All right. Two people that I'm like, bro, no disrespect, but you got to get these people out of here. I'm old head now. Y'all feel how y'all feel. I'm gonna give a damn. Get Curtis Blow the fuck out of here, bro. Get Curtis Blow. They had Curtis Blow at 23. 23? Come on, bro. Come on. Yeah, Curtis Blow had two songs.
Yeah, he shouldn't even been on that list.
And they put him on there because
he shouldn't have been on the list, man.
He was the first one to be signed to a major. Well, somebody would have done that, bro. That's Christmas rapping in the break.
That's important, but still, like,
okay. Somebody would have done that, though. Like,
can you name any songs outside of the two songs that everybody know he got? Like,
and I ain't even remember Christmas rapping. I just remember the breaks, and I was like, oh yeah, Christmas rapping. I do remember that one, but yeah, he got to go, and Melly Mel.
Oh yeah, Melly Mel. I don't even know why Melly Mel was on the list. Like, even the interview he did, I was like, "Well, you kind of flawed because you're not even great."
Right? No one. He was like, if great MCs did the list, then I respect him. I'm like, Melly Mel, you're not making any great MCs list. Lucky you made this list. If you put Jay-Z and Rakim and Big Daddy Kane and Ludacris and whoever else y'all might consider great, right? And put them in the room. Ain't nobody hollering out no Melly Mel, dog. Get out of here.
Those guys, look, the guys who was rapping in his era won't mention.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you talking about?
You ain't got that Melly Mel. You tried to make so many comebacks and it was just horrible. It was horrible. You just ain't have it.
You're a pioneer, and I'll give you that. Pioneer is that's to be celebrated, and that's important. Somebody got to start it. But that's like celebrating, the pioneers of basketball. It's like, yeah, absolutely. You salute these guys. These guys were, they did the best they could against who they had to go against. But I'm not about to sit here and act like, the first point guard to dribble the ball between his legs is one of the greatest ball handlers of all time. Let's not do that. My other thing was, okay, so these were my absentees that I had issues with. So at 49, they got Rev Run. Okay, I know it's tough when we're dealing with groups. I get that. But if you're going to take guys from groups, which they did, they took Rev Run, they took Bun B, and they took Andre 3000 and they separated. That's really tough. That's really, really tough to do. But in this case, if we only taking one MC out of Run DMC, I'm going with DMC.
Yeah.
I was like, huh? If you only taking one, bro, give me DMC then.
Yeah, DMC was the more better rapper anyway.
To me, yeah, I thought that was I think that's most like hip-hop heads kind of feel like when it comes to that group. Like, I grew up, I'm born in 1980, so when Run DMC is in their height, I'm a baby, but I'm influenced by his music, obviously, because it's going crazy. And they definitely influenced the culture, but I'm like, you kind of hard-pressed to just give me DMC. Bun B, I get a little bit more.
Yeah, at least Bun B has some. He has some solo albums that you can play him with solo artists.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The Three Stacks thing is, again, probably one of the best. Probably maybe the best.
The best, right?
MC, but you can't put him up there because he has no solo projects to be that.
And if you're going to do that,
you gotta include.
You gotta have Big Boy.
You gotta see Outkast. Yes,
tough, man, because Big Boy is absolutely no slouch. And no, Rev Run is not better than Big Boy. Melly Mel is not better than Big Boy.
Man,
no,
look, 25 rappers on that list ain't better than Big Boy.
Right. Like,
that's crazy.
That's tough, right?
But I see what they saying, but like, okay, if you're gonna add 3,000, then you gotta say Outkast. You gotta say Big Boy too. You gotta put 3,000/ Big Boy.
I'm agree with you. It's tough. I understand what you mean. He, to me, as a soloist, I mean, just as now, he's never been a soloist, like you say. So, as a lyricist, I've never heard anybody as amazing as Andre 3000. Probably the next best thing to me is probably Black Thought. Black Thought to me is another guy that I find to have just one of the most amazing pens. And then probably Lupe Fiasco, probably that'll round out like my three as far as just like incredible pins to me. But that was my thing. And then I ain't gonna stay here too long. We're gonna go ahead and get into some news. But like I said, just y'all know our format. You know we always get into
Yeah, then you know they got the guys in there like Big L.
L ain't on here.
Big L not on
there. Big L not on here.
He didn't make the list, but okay, yeah, so they always mention Big L name, and Big L can rap. He can rap.
Yeah, for sure.
He don't got no work. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think you could do that. I didn't like how they took Slick Rick off because he's born in England. His whole career was in the U.S., though.
In the U.S. I mean, he's a rapper.
He don't have no English albums. He don't have no albums in the U.K.
He's a hip-hop artist.
and his career was created in the U.S. I understand he wasn't born here, but his entire career was built here in the United States of America. So that to me was weird. And then my last kind of big gripe, I'm gonna say two real quick. Yasiin Bey, who is formerly known as Mos Def. I don't think he got the impact. Hey, underground rappers, there you go. Y'all that was hollering for a backpack underground rapper, you got it. Because mainstream impact, he never had that. Talib Kweli had bigger hits as a individual, that kind of, obviously they were in a group, so they cut from that same cloth, they were in that same raucous kind of underground, dirty sound that was coming out to, combat some of the, more polished sound that was out at that time. But I'm gonna give you this one and then I'm done. You got T.I. at 32, you got Gucci at 38, and no Jeezy. That's egregious to me. Jeezy has to be on there if you put those two guys on there. They rounded Ross made 50, but when you talk about trap music,
Jeezy has to be in there.
Has to be there. You can put him at a tie or something, but you cannot.
You're going to put Jeezy ahead of Gucci, at least one.
Because he has the hits.
Yes.
Y'all talk about the hits, the Billboard hits, the certifications. Yeah. Gucci don't have platinum. He's very influential in the trap music sound. He was very influential in putting a lot of artists out there. Definitely got to give him that. But he don't have the hits even close to what Jeezy got. Just doesn't. So you can't put Tip. And even though Tip and they beef with Gucci and all, when you go to the Trap Museum, he got Gucci on the Trap round Mount Rushmore. Cools him and Jeezy. And it's like, you have to. So you can't make this list and not have Jeezy on here if you're going to include those two artists I think that's insane. And definitely, if one makes it and not the other, then you got to put Jeezy over Gucci by your criteria, by your own very criteria. Everybody remembers Jeezy mixtape game, his cultural influence as far as that one. Because in the South, mixtapes wasn't like that at that point in time. Jeezy was one of the spearheads.
They were putting out albums. Like, he was getting albums. He wasn't getting mixtapes.
Right. We just called so in the South, he's doing that. You know, you had the whole band, the Snowman campaign, classic album. Gucci don't have a classic album.
At all.
It's just, you know, to me, I was like, and don't get me wrong, but I've already stated on this show, Jeezy's my favorite rapper. Not the best, my favorite rapper. That's crazy. You cannot have Gucci and no Jeezy. Yeah. That is insane.
But the T.I. thing, I understand, you know, because he did cross over. He had commercial success.
So
he got the criteria. He got the statistics. I'm thinking like Gucci, like, what? You know, okay, maybe if y'all saying the impact that he had, okay, well, then say that. But as far as musically, no, nothing. Nothing close to what Gucci has at all. I mean, nothing close to what Jeezy has at all.
Yeah, he doesn't have, like, I don't even know his biggest song. Let me see. I'm gonna look real quick while we're talking.
So Icy with Jeezy.
Let's see, because you know I go to what's his name? They usually put their most streams on. It probably that one with it's just what I was thinking. The one with Kodak, Wake Up in the Sky. And wasn't there Yak's song?
Wake Up in the Sky. No, I think that was Gucci's song.
That was Gucci's song. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know. I'm sure it benefited greatly from Bruno Mars and Yak, who's on fire. So, yeah, like, nah, that I'm gonna get up out of there with that one. I ain't too crazy about that one. But shout out to Gucci for what he do. You know, he definitely is a huge impact on the game. But nah, we gotta get that nod to Jeezy over Gucci on that. But I digress. We done with all that. Just had to get that off real quick, man.
It is what it is. One thing I tell people all the time, I say, look, when you don't create something, you can never really complain about it because it's theirs.
Yeah, it's theirs, absolutely.
Billboard created it. I can't complain because Billboard created it. You know what I'm saying? Now, if I created it, guess what? I could complain.
And I say I might do my own. I might get me a little panel and sit down with six people who hip-hop, opinion I respect and do my own fit.
Yeah,
I got a few guys out of throwing. They Lupe Fiasco definitely would have made it for me. Wale would have made it for me. There's a couple of guys that I probably would have made additions to. I thought the list is solid.
Yeah, I think they need to come out with like different categories. You know what I'm saying? Say that this is the who has the biggest impact, the best lyricist, the most classic album. Come out with different categories like that.
Yeah.
So maybe it could be more understandable to why such and such didn't make that list.
Yeah. That'd be kind of fun. Yeah, like do a couple of top tens, like top 10 storytellers, top 10 lyricists. Top 10 hit makers. Like these guys, every time you look, they can crank out a hit.
Yeah, hit maker.
Because as a 50 fan, I thought they had 50 high. I like 50, way but 50 high. Burnt out. 50 way bro, too like.
50 was way too high. Because outside of his first album, even the second one, man, it's like, you were like, oh, well, this is definitely nothing like
the fall off was quick. The fall off like was fast. And you know, I said in the group chat, and there's some people, it's hard to get people to the agreement. The Massacre is a better album than Get Rich or Die Trying, but people are, in my opinion, obviously. So this is my humble opinion. But Get Rich or Die Trying was a moment. It was a big movement in the culture. It was a return to the street sound when it was a more like snap, pop, bubblegum type rounds sound that was going bigger at the time, right? So that's what it was. But when I go back to listen to 50, I enjoy The Massacre a lot more. That's just how I feel. I think that music aged better. Like, I don't want to hear Wankster no more. I never want to hear In the Club no more. I don't jam In the Club no more. At the time, it was huge. But I don't play no In the Club no more. Only thing you really probably get me to play off of that first joint is What Up, Gangsta, Many Men, maybe like High All the Time. That's probably about it. Oh, I can think off the top of my head. Oh, what's that one? I think it's called Heat. Yeah, I think that. Yeah, that's probably it. And we call that a classic album. And
yeah, it's a classic. I mean, no disrespect to 50. It's a classic album. But like you say, it's a classic album at that moment because New York was kind of lost. Nobody from New York was like, you know, that's when hip hop kind of almost left New York. You know what I'm saying? It was just right. Jay-Z and Nas. Nobody was coming out. You know what I'm saying? So everybody was all over either the West, the South had took off.
Right.
And when 50 came out, they were like, oh, well, we finally got us an artist.
Got us one. But what's funny about 50, he sounded like he from the South. So that's what made it funny is like, I mean, yeah, y'all did, but y'all biggest artist, he has a Southern sound to him. So here nor there. Anyways, we'll give y'all the other half of what y'all tune in for us to us for. I know y'all enjoy the shop talk. We ain't gonna chop it up that way this time, make it easy on my man Maul. But we get into a little bit of look at me accidentally hitting pimp. See, I don't wanna hit PIMP no more, dog. I don't wanna hit 21 questions no more. This ain't my joints no more, but you put on I'm Supposed to Die Tonight. Oh man, that's my joint. In My Hood, oh, that go crazy. Baltimore, yeah, love
in my
that.
Hood, in My Hood. My personal favorite by 50 is Ambitions of a Hustler.
Oh yeah. That was off the soundtrack.
But I felt like he kind of took that out of my head when he was writing that. Like, cause damn, I'm feeling the same way. Like, man.
Yeah.
I just felt that when he put that, I like, that's what I be feeling like sometimes, you know what I'm saying? So
real rap.
My personal favorite by 50.
Real rap. All right, so a couple of spring practices under the belt, man. We got three in. Obviously we had a junior day we got to talk about last week. So not a ton of movement, but something I thought was real interesting. Probably the biggest news to come out of the third spring session so far. And then these guys are going on break for, they don't go back to the 21st. So they're on a nice little spring break. Hopefully nobody gets in trouble. No drinking and driving. Use the Uber. Use that NIL money wisely if you got some. Spread some love to your homies. If you the one that got the bag, make sure everybody get an Uber, dog. Make sure y'all don't do nothing too reckless out there and get back on campus safe. We don't want anybody hurt out there, period. Whether you be the victim or you cause somebody some harm. Always keep that in mind. But I think the biggest news coming out of the third camp was the Maui Goa boys. Francisco and Francis. All right, Francisco's the tackle. And Francis is the linebacker. Both of these guys is elevated.
No. Francis is the linebacker. Francis is the tackle. Francisco is the linebacker.
I said it backwards.
Yeah. You said.
God,
you said
and Francis. then we got Frankie. We got Frankie Tenelau. Yeah. Yeah. All these FARs. Okay, so
Francis is the tackle.
Okay. Francis is the tackle. All right. So Francis, the tackle, has been elevated to the first team. He took Chris Washington's spot. Chris Washington was
Matthew McCoy.
I thought Washington was still at right tackle. So who? I know first practice.
Washington was behind McCoy.
And since the first practice.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got misinformation, and they had Washington is what I originally had heard. Yeah, okay, no, cool.
Washington was never. He was behind.
So McCoy was the original right tackle. Okay, cool. Well. Okay, now that explains a lot because I was super shocked with Washington because Washington was a guy I was very interested in, but he was from, a few regimes ago. And I was like, a developmental guy. So I was kind of encouraged by hearing, oh, okay, cool, he's elevated. But, bringing in new talent, maybe he's out of there. We'll see how it ends up playing out eventually. If he third team at this point behind two young guns, he might be out of there. But Maui Gold was able to elevate the first team, move to right tackle. He's lined up next to Inez, correct? Inez Cooper?
Yeah, it was Inez. Inez is right guard. Matt Lee center. Javion Cohen is the left guard.
Left guard.
And Jalen Rivers is left tackle.
Still out at left tackle. Yeah. How we feel about that?
I feel good about it. The only thing, I'm still got to wait and see. I'm waiting to see what Jalen Rivers being at left tackle. I thought he was more suited for a right tackle position. But, you know, Zion obviously is not back yet. And Samson isn't ready to take over that left tackle spot. So I'm cool with it, but I still want to wait and see, can he hold it down?
Yeah, being a true freshman, I mean, obviously he's a five-star kid. So usually five-star kids are obviously in the physical. They are at that physical level for a college-ready player. But the O-line is usually a developmental position, period. Just even from the mental standpoint of getting all your techniques polished up. But you are not talking about, when you talk about Maui Gore, from everything I understand, you're not talking about a kid that needs a whole lot of polish at this point. Samson could use a little bit more, but that's it. But that, my understanding, he's picking it up fast. And some of his is just a lack of competition. So it's just he's stepping up, playing better players, and sharpening his skills in that regard. I feel like I'm encouraged that he's making an impact and that he'll be a rotational player for sure, which is kind of what we expected. It's super early, but that did let me know that it's a very good chance that he will be in our top seven, top eight guys when we get ready to roll out there. I fully expect Zion to take that left tackle spot back over. I think Cohen will stay at left guard. Lee will stay at center. I think where it gets interesting is that right side of the line. But I know they like Cooper a lot. I've liked the small sample size I've seen of Cooper. He's a road grader. So I kind of want to leave him there myself. And then so I think what you end up having is a battle between Rivers and Maui Gold for that right tackle.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting because I still think that just gives us a good pool of talent to work from. And then it allows you, especially because they like to do a lot of cross training, it allows you some flexibility because we know guys like Cohen has been brought in, to my understanding. He could play anywhere through the middle for sure. We could play either guards and the center. Rivers was already playing guard. So we know he has that ability. And, you know, a guy like McCoy, who, you know, who's right there at that rotation as well, very close. I think he could play at guard and tackle as well. So, you know, it's a rough game. Injuries happen all the time.
I think McCoy, he's just better suited for tackle.
I believe so, too, with his length.
He moves a lot better than a guard. You know, usually, man, guards be kind of stuck and strong. You know what I'm saying? Tackle, they strong, but they can move a lot better. You know what I'm saying? When you're stuck and strong, you're a guard because they really don't want you to just move the nose guard out of the way.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but I think all in all, we got some flexibility there.
Yeah. We got some flexibility. I just think they look bigger. You know what I'm saying? Just looking at them from left to right, you're like, dang, why was the line look like this last year? This is crazy. Like, we was really small, but these guys look big.
Yeah, that's a for sure right on, man. Everything I've heard, I mean, you know, we got big human beings around on campus. Tendelau is another guy that is going to end up being a project guy. Don't look for him to necessarily start anytime in the very near future. He's a guy that hasn't played a lot of football, but from my understanding, just a massive human being that should be a contributor probably by his third year. You should look for him to be a heavy contributor at that point in his career. And, you know, Mario and Alex, that's their bread and butter, man. They're going to get big body human beings. You know, you look at a guy like Inez Cooper, he wasn't this, this highly regarded, highly touted. Not that he didn't have any other Power Five offers, he did. But it looks like they found a real diamond in the rough there. And that's something that I think they do fairly well because you're coming out of Oregon. You're not going to always get the top lineman guys out of there. Unless they off the West Coast, because those guys will tend to go to your Bamas, your Ohio States. And they did a good job of putting together a good offensive line there, which was evident in the Oregon's line this last season. A lot of the success they were able to have, and you know, part of the reason Bo Nix had a much better year than he had at Auburn, predicates right there in the trenches. And that's what they built over there. So our bad coach and his bad recruiting did that before he left. So, you know, get a man, give him a half a credit. I know it's tough for you to do, but go ahead and give him a half a credit. And then, so that kind of looks at the O-line. And we'll go to the other side of the ball. So Francisco has elevated the first team, which is what I was hoping, because otherwise I didn't understand bringing him in if he wasn't going to be that kind of a guy. You know, he's the size type you want. I believe he was originally a quarterback, if I'm not mistaken. 6'3 guy. To my understanding, looks every bit of that, what, 230-ish, somewhere in that range. And right now it's him and Bissaint lined up next to each other. That's encouraging to me. I really like Wesley Bissaint. I thought he was coming along well towards the end of the year. And it's no knock on Flag. Flag is a capable linebacker, but he's probably a little bit more of an old school linebacker, a little bit undersized. He can do certain things well, absolutely, but I'll be looking for, from henceforth, you'll be expecting Miami to have these 6'2", 6'3", type linebackers, long arms that can get into these passing lanes, and that can run sideline to sideline with good speed. I think that'll be our prototype from this point forward. And like I say, no knock on Flag, but I am happy to see that Maui Gold was able to elevate itself to first team at this point. So what you want from a veteran guy like that as well? Any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, no, yeah. Francisco, he looks good out there. He's fluid. He can run. You know, he's. I mean, I guess you could say he's a more athletic Corey Flag and bigger. You know, and then Wesley, he's just been Wesley. You know what I'm saying? Wesley, it looked like Wesley is taking control of the defense so far.
Nice.
He's not calling the plays, but it just looked like he's – it looked like when he was at Central, you know, he knows the defense well, so he's like, okay, hey, let's do this, da-da-da-da, stuff like that, so.
Cool. You want to see that maturation in a, you know, a highly touted guy, a four-star linebacker. You know, the state wanted him. Everybody in the state wanted him. We were able to secure that. So that's good there as well. I would say, coming back to the offensive side of the football, I'd like your opinion on this one. And running back, with them right now for sure in the spring, there's no question about that. You got 5 scholarship backs, with Parrish, Citizen, Cheney, Chris Johnson Jr., and whose name
Mark
I'm blanking
Fletcher.
On? Fletcher, Mark yes. Fletcher. Mark Fletcher. So how do you feel going coming out of spring with that 5?
If the guys be healthy, I love it. I love the group.
I'm with you there. I've heard some concerns about bringing in a body. My thing with bringing in the body is this. Who are you going to bring in? Whoever you bring in is third at best. And their third is hoping on an injury.
I think you push it to fourth, man, because I think Murph Fletcher going to play.
Right, yeah. So that's why I say third at best. Third to me is a stretch. I agree. Because Fletcher has a college ready body. Chris Johnson being more the change of pace speed back. I could see him needing a red shirt year to just get his body a little more ready for the collegiate level. Maybe I could see him in the return game or some gadget plays, maybe, but I don't think they're in a rush there. So I look at him and I don't necessarily have him in the rotation this year. Fletcher's a guy I do think makes the rotation. Citizen is still recovering. So that is a tad concerning, but it's not unexpected. The timeline is okay from what we originally understood. Parrish did a good job, a little banged up. But then you have Cheney, who's never not been banged up. So I understand the desire to possibly bring in another body. I just think it's going to be difficult. I don't know who you're going to convince to come in. You know, who we get? We got that guy at UAB last year.
Stanley.
Yeah. And I mean, Lou Stanley, when he got his spot played, didn't look bad. But you're going to have to, it's going to be a tough draw. Maybe somebody want to come back home for their last season, maybe. I'd get that if you could get one of these guys out of, you know, a group of five that just like, look, they know they're not going pro, but they might want the opportunity to just play back in front of their home, you know, for their last season. So if we can get one of those, I'd be all for it. I just think it's going to be a little bit of a tough run.
Yeah, it got to be somebody content with coming in and just saying, hey, I'm just here to play my role.
Right.
Because, you know, if Paris and Chaney is healthy for the full season, those are our two guys.
And then you have Citizen who they healthy, love. Right.
He's our guy. Then Mark Fletcher is a guy.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Like, so I got a rough time seeing a guy being able to come in unless they come in with that attitude of, hey, man, I ain't going to the league. It's my last year. My mom stayed around the corner. I'd like her to be able to come to a few games and just cheer me on. And, you know, hopefully I get a couple of snaps. So I do understand the concern there. We'll see if that's addressed. I wouldn't be surprised if it does get addressed just for injury concerns. I just wouldn't look for no splash there. I guess that would be the best way to put it. Just look for another body that can help us out.
Yeah, I think the only splashes that you need coming out after spring will be maybe a wide receiver, maybe defensive tackle, and I guess you could say cornerback position, but then we got three guys coming in summertime. So it's like, you know, everybody saying, oh, you need, I mean, look, we got guys here. The thing is to get those guys playing to the best of their ability. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
keep bringing in people thinking, oh man, well, we brought them in, you know, they don't look good. Now we got to go get somebody else. That's not how it works, man. Get these guys in and develop them.
Right.
That's how you recruit good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's concerns about, you know, Devontae Brown, but it's early, bro. It's spring. He didn't look crazy last year, but he has a good physical tools you work with. So this is where the coaching comes in. And Adai's a good coach. So give him time to work with him and help him polish his technique. Get him in there with some film, show him where he's making mistakes and where he can strengthen his game and see what we got there. That's probably my number one position of concern would be corner. Just because I don't think we're elite back there, but I think we'll be capable. Then I agree with you. Defensive tackle, I'd love to see I want a 6'5 run stopper, a monster there. I don't think that guy's out there that I could think of right now unless he makes a last-minute decision. You know, we lost Daryl Jackson.
It had to be at the spring.
Daryl Jackson was that guy for us. And unfortunately, you know, he decided to go back closer to home. More power to that young man. But, yeah, I would like to see an upgrade there in the spring. And that would be, to me, I would say, if you can get your big body D tackle, which I do want to take a minute to give some praise to Ahmad Moten, who I have heard has done a good job with starting to reshape his body. He is more that style of guy that you'd be looking for there. Also, I don't want us to too quickly just dismiss, 81 down there. I think if he plays healthy, you know, he could give us some good positive snaps down on the defensive line as well. I wouldn't be – why am I blanking on Cuz's name again?
His name Harrison Hunt.
Harrison Hunt. I keep blinking. I don't know why I keep blinking on boy.
Yeah, we always do it because I'd be like, man, when you think of that number, 81, you like, you think of, oh, man, that's a receiver.
Yeah.
Harrison Hunt is 81. So.
He's a guy. Yeah, he's a guy that I like. If he can, you know, if he can stay healthy, I think he could give us some good quality snaps as well. I would not be mad at another defensive end, but I just, again, I don't know who exactly you're going to get there. you know, we got Jafari Harvey, and you got.
Yeah, I don't know who's like. Just thinking about who can transfer in at defensive end and just going to play in front of the guys we got, because Najee Kelly is sticking out majorly.
Oh yeah, I'm very encouraged by Najee. He's sticking out. I would out like.
And then we got to remember Hakeem Ezdor is not practicing right now. He's another one that, you know, he's going to do his thing. You know what I'm saying? Him, Jabari Ishmael, he's not there. The defensive end, we kind of loaded. I mean, obviously, you would like to see somebody be like, okay, well, that guy had 10 sacks. You know what I'm saying? That we don't have that yet, but we have the bodies there.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so. That's why I was going with it. If you can get a splash guy, absolutely. I don't know if that guy's out there again. If there's a big time guy that's like, oh yeah, hell yeah, you know, this guy's a big physical freak. Don't think that guy in particular is out there right now, but that would be another position I wouldn't mind seeing. But only if it's got to be a splash. Otherwise, I say just develop what you got. I got a quick question for you. I haven't heard anything about this guy, and I know you get to get out there. Moss, have you seen Moss?
Yeah, so Moss, it will benefit a lot in his defense as far as him being a stand-up end. If he have to put his hands in the dirt, then, you know, he's obviously in a disadvantage because the tackle's going to look at him like he's lunch. But when he's standing up, he's in an advantage because his step is going to be a lot quicker than that tackle could kick out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he'll benefit in his defense a lot. You know, he still needs to get weight. But again, I think he's only going to come in on pass downs only. You know, so when he come in the game, you know, his one job is to go get that quarterback. He's going. So
he's still on the slim side.
Yeah, he's still on the slim side. Still need to, I don't know, man. We got to get him some of the Jamaican food or some Cuban food down here, man. he need to eat that every day because, yeah, he's just. But again, he kind of looks like his coach did in college. You know what I'm saying? His position coach. So. We'll see, man. Maybe he's not going to get to 250, 260. Maybe he'll just be 240 and just be a specialist, a pass specialist. So, a pass rush specialist. But he has that quick step. Now, when he's standing up, he getting back there. You know what I'm saying? He ain't going to be no, or they block him good, but he's getting there. Another name, man, and this shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. Hometown kid, man, 44. He looking good. He looking good, man. Ruben Bain.
Oh, man. Bain?
Yeah. He looking good. And see, the thing with him is right now they got him playing on the end. And, you know, he's already almost about 260, 270. So he going to, you know, he know he's going to have to move inside eventually in the future. But he's going to cause some trouble. He's definitely going to cause some major trouble.
Yeah. Thank God. We need him. Let him stack them all. Yeah, I'd like to see I want to see an 8-sack guy this year, man. Man, you know, we didn't get that last year.
We almost got it last year. What, Mesdo had, what, 7?
Yeah, he missed a couple games.
And he missed a couple games.
I think Kelly might get it, man.
Yeah, and Kelly could get it. Kelly could get it, man, because Kelly just has that. He has the beard that once, you know, once he get focused and know he's going to get that quarterback, it's going to be kind of hard to stop him.
Yeah, good Ben.
And he looked like he put on some more weight, too.
Yeah, I've heard that. He already had a, you know, a good base, solid, you know, in the lower body. Just probably need to add a little more upper body power there. So, encouraging as well. Any quick anything else from spring right now?
Yeah, no, nothing else. The one, like, I got on space, I think yesterday or Friday, and, you know, I spoke about the guys who were standing out at each position. Jacoby George, it looks like Coach Kevin Beard is taking George, and I kind of would say forcing him to know that you're that guy. You know, you're supposed to be the alpha in this group. You know, he's really in his ear almost every time he's out there on the field. Like, you can see that. It's visible. Mm-hmm. So it looks like he wants And we all know Jacoby Joyce got that talent. So it looked like Coach Kevin Beard trying to get it out of him.
No doubt.
You know, Chaney looks like the Chaney we thought he was going to be before injuries. You know what I'm saying? He looks good out there. I seen him give Chaney the ball. And, you know, we never really see Chaney cut. You know, Chaney kind of going to run through you or try to run past you. Chaney put a cut, and I was like, oh, damn. That's what I'm talking about, Chaney. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So he's standing out, too.
Yeah, he's a guy that I definitely beat the drum for. If he gets healthy, man, I just think he could be that, man. I think he's a great all-around back. Like I said, I told people he reminds me of a Gore. I can get a healthy Chaney, man. I just think he could be dangerous. Man,
if we can get that guy between 75 to 100 carries in a season, I think he'll cross the 1,000-yard mark.
I'm with you, man. That's the thing. I'm very encouraged by that room in general. It's just a health thing. I love the talent in that room. These are guys that I just think have a lot of the prototypical tools. You gotta remember, we as a fan base, we were high on Parrish before he went to Ole Miss. A lot of people wanted him, you know, brought in the fold. He wasn't at the top of their board at the time, so he ended up going to Ole Miss. He had some success there, but man, I really liked how he looked for us, especially early last year. I thought the guy showed great balance, falls forward, good vision, some explosion there. I'm encouraged by that whole room. Absolutely.
Yeah. The running backs, they're going to benefit a lot too, man, because everything going to be kind of a space for them. You know, they ain't going to have to get the ball and try to rush between three guys and try to get 5 yards with three guys hitting them. You know what I'm saying? So it's a space situation with them in this offense. Coach Dawson will basically get the ball into his playmakers. That's one thing I could say, man. If the guys in his offense can't make plays, man, they just ain't got it. That's all I can say. It's like, and as of now, it look like, man, we going past heavy. I mean, and then that's because of the running back situation. You know, they not
right.
So, but it looks like they going past heavy. The guy Young, Kobe Young, he looks like the guy. Isaiah Horton looks like the guy. You know, Frank Lassen came back Thursday. Let's hope he could be the Frank Lassen we all thought he was when he was going to Clemson.
Five star.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So
five star.
That's the thing. The talent is there, man. Those guys just got to put it together.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged by the Jacoby George news. I was happy when I saw him first team to begin with, because he's a guy that I saw flashes in. I mean, remember we was having the return game woes, and he finally fixed that. And I just think I think he could be a really dynamic player. I think he could be an exciting guy with the football in his hands. Just give him an opportunity. I don't know. He kind of reminds me of one of those just all-around guys. You know, not necessarily like the biggest burner. He's not the biggest size guy. Just a guy like that I believe can make plays. And I'm happy Coach see the same thing. I say, like, bro, you can be him. You just got to tap into it. And after he, you know, missed last season with the suspension.
The thumb injury.
It started with the suspension, thumb. Right? Yeah. And then he, you know, comes back and he has thumb injury. I think with combination of coaching and him getting a little older, understanding, hey, man, this thing will be over before you know it now. What you going to do? You're going to make your impact. You're going to make your mark. You're going to get serious about your business. And him being on first team, let me know that has to be in his mind. Because, they're going to keep bringing guys in. Who are you going to be? You going to be the big dog, or you going to let one of these little fellas come and take your job? You got every advantage. You're older.
They vocally letting it be known that they want another receiver in the transfer portal, you know what I'm saying, after spring. So, if you know, do you want to be that guy to say, oh, man, they brought somebody in and now I got to wait again? Or do you want to say, well, I don't know what they
bring him in. Yeah, he'll be backing me up, right? Yeah, that's on you.
Yeah,
so. That's on you. You better make a decision. You know, that goes for any of those guys. That's Kobe Young. You know, I like his explosion. I like his ability to go up and get the football. You know, they say he shed about 12 pounds and you know, is feeling a little bit better than he did coming in, ready to play another college season. because he didn't play a lot to begin with. He had to get in condition to begin with. But now here's your opportunity. And they won't bring that wide receiver in. Your attitude better be, oh, well, he could come in when I need a quick brief. That's how you got to attack this thing. So, encouraging all around. You got any recruiting quick hitters?
Okay. Brandon Baker, number one offensive tackle out of California. I think he's at, what is that? The school Matter that wears red. Is it Matter Day?
Yeah, Matter Day.
Okay, Matter Day. Yeah, him and his teammate. His teammate, I got his name right here written down.
Aiden Breeland.
Aiden, yeah. His teammate played D-tackle?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
his teammate. Man, I'm hearing real good positive things about those two. Like, real good. They both trying to schedule visits to come back for the summertime. And I think Braden was talking about committing during the summer. You know, so I'm hearing good things about them too. I'm hearing good things about the linebacker guy. What's his name? Is it Daniel Williams? I think that's it. Daniel Williams, something like that.
Is it Tyler?
Tyler?
No. Williams sounds right for sure. Hold on. Bear with us one moment.
Yeah, it's Dylan Williams.
Oh, okay. Dylan.
Dylan. Hearing good things about him. He's another guy who's trying to schedule that summertime visit also. The South Florida, the South Florida kids, man, they speaking very good about what's going on. You know, UM headed in the right direction.
That's what's up.
I heard some good things about Mr. Aaron Nolan earlier. I'm just keep hoping that it keep being good.
Yeah, come on. Nolan, man. Come on. You know it's time, baby. Got to get that QB in the class, and let's go and get this thing cranked up, man.
Yeah, man. So recruiting going to pick up, man, probably next month, summertime, definitely. Don't be crazy because we ain't got nobody. This Mario, man, it's like easy for Mario, man. Mario could do this with his eyes closed.
Let me tell you, for number one, as a Canes fan, you ought to be out your damn mind being excited about a bunch of early commits. We done seen that movie, and it's bad for us every time. I don't care nothing about a whole bunch of kids jumping in the boat early. Because to me, I think, honestly, okay, there's two kind of kids. There's kids that are just born to play for that school. Duke Johnson. Duke is a rare. These kids not like that too much no more. It's very, very, very rare. The Bosa boys, they was going to Ohio State. That was never – it was no point in really recruiting those kids, be honest with you. They was going to Ohio State. But so you either get those kids, it's, you know, like I said, those rare air kind of guys that are absolutely married to a school and ain't going nowhere. And then the other group, I just think, jumped the gun for the most part. And they commit super early. They're not letting the process play out. And I just don't think you get enough, especially particularly with Miami. I won't speak on other programs. In Miami, that has not bowled well for us in the past. And a lot of times, I honestly think those kids are using Miami as a way to raise their profile. So I'm encouraged by a slower rollout, a slower play. The only thing I want is my QB. I want to go ahead and get my QB in class because that does help with recruiting in general. And we'll probably be taking two this cycle. I know that's the goal since we didn't get two last cycle.
You got to pretty much take two at every position or more besides tight end. Tight end, the only position you can take one. You really don't need to take that one. Well, you do because Khalil Brittany, he left. But take the one. You need two quarterbacks. You need two running backs. You need four receivers, 3 to 4 receivers, 5 offensive linemen. You need 6 defensive linemen. That's maybe 3D tackles, 3 defensive ends. You need 2 linebackers, 6 defensive backs, 3 corners, and 3 safeties.
Well, there you have it. Good breakdown, actually. That was a real quick good breakdown. About right. Yeah, yeah. Sound about right.
I mean,
my calculations.
You're going to need it as far for one for depth reasons, and then just look at the returning players who can be eligible to leave early. You know what I'm saying? You started off with the secondary with Cam and James. They can leave early.
Right.
You know, then you got Couch, Porter, Devontae Brown. You know, those guys can leave early.
Right.
Even Terry Roberts. You know what I'm saying? So.
Correct.
At defensive line, you got Taylor. He can leave early. You got Hunt. He can leave. Jafari Harvey, he can leave. Chaz Williams can leave. You see what I'm saying? So it's like, you start thinking about the numbers. Offensive line, you got Cohen, Matt Lee, Rivers, Zion, they all leave. Uh-oh. You got to get the numbers back in offensive line. Receiver, I think maybe everybody could come back. Because I think everybody still got years left. But Restrepo could have a decent year and say, I want to leave. Kobe Young could have a decent year and say, I want to leave. You know what I'm saying? George could have a good year and I leave. Right. Same with running back. Paris and Henry. Chaney and Paris could both do 800 yards apiece and say, hey, man, that's good enough to go to the NFL. Let's go.
Yeah.
Now you need two more running backs. Once TBD leave, you got Emory Williams and Jakari Brown. Uh-oh, you need two quarterbacks.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? So.
I'm with you. Makes sense. All right. Well, we're going to hold y'all no longer, man. I think that's about it.
Yeah,
that's much else going on right now. Spring break getting ready to come up. So it'll be quiet time. We'll be back with y'all, though, if there's any interesting hard-hitting news or just to kick it with you for a little bit. I think. Yeah, with that, man, we're going to get up out of here, bro.
Yeah, that's it, man. Again, I just want to thanks everybody, man, for supporting, you know, 26 Degrees, man, supporting Footballville, Caneville, man. Y'all know we just launched nationally. So, obviously, it's a lot more work for me.
Yes, sir. It's a good
thing. The one thing I tell people is I don't look at it as a job because I do love what I do. You know what I'm saying? I love what I do. So, you know, I like to... I help kids out, man. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of coaches from colleges reach out to me all the time about kids, and that's what I do. You know what I'm saying? So, hey, everybody ain't for everybody, man.
No doubt, man. Shout out to the rest of our co-hosts who couldn't make it this day. Shout out, Footballville, y'all in what, Jersey now? Southern Cal.
We in Jersey, Southern California. We in Alabama. We in Georgia, and we in Texas.
No doubt, man.
Crazy awesome. Enough, man. I got a call from an individual I never met in my life. I don't even know how he got my number, but he got my number. They called me, and they were saying, "Man, y'all need to come out here to Utah." And I was like, "What? I don't know nothing about Utah." Like, man, he got some talent up here. I said, "Well, look. When we fully expand, we'll be there. Like, come on. Like, we just...
Yeah, we ready for Utah, like, yeah.
let me get my feet wet with these other five
states. Yeah, we got to get Ohio. Yeah, it's a couple other states got to come for Utah.
Utah, y'all not know state. Well, they screaming, hey, welcome. You know what I'm saying? So, but in due time, man. Give us some time.
Now. Yeah. You just hit a major growth spurt, man. But congratulations on that, man. Real talk.
Thanks,
love
man.
To see
thanks,
it, man. Love to see it. All right, man, we're going to get up out of here. It's been 26 Degrees. We'll be back with y'all next week.
Peace.
We're going to let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.